flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why do we have DI? We had DI because you denied us diversity. You denied us equity. You denied us inclusion. DEI was a remedy to the racial institutional bigotry practiced in academia and in these corporations. Now you want to put us back in the back of the bus. We gonna do the Dr. King Rosa Parks on you.
So you have Al Sharpton there. He's back in Al Sharpton form, pushing against Donald Trump's day two initiative of ending DEI in our government institutions. And that among a lightning fast start to this Donald Trump administration, we go to our friend Roy Murdoch, a nationally syndicated columnist, a Fox News contributor and Project 21 ambassador as well. Roy, it's great to have you. Good week so far. How do you feel about President Trump and the work he's already got done?
Boy, as you say, Annie, in a very good way, dizzying. It's amazing how much this man has done in just 2 days compared to how little Joe Biden would do in an average month. I mean, it's amazing. The level of energy and relentlessness and focus, this man's not wasting a minute to get his agenda delivered and to keep the promises that he made to the American people in the election last November.
You know, one of the things that is interesting is to see who starts to come out of the woodwork. Now that Donald Trump is back in a position of the presidency, to see Al Sharpton, we haven't heard from Al Sharpton for 4 years. I guess everything was great for 4 years under Joe Biden. There were no problems at all. Joe Biden fixed all of the issues facing our country. And on day two, Al Sharpton is calling on the names of Rosa Parks to do that once again. Do you feel that Al Sharpton sentiment in your life now that Donald Trump is the president once again?
Oh, thank God Al Sharpton's back to protect me and my rights. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is the usual nonsense about Rosa Parks and Jim Crow, and they're going to bring back all the ghosts of the 1950s and on and on and on and on and on. And, I think that people should remember, in the absence of diversity, equity, inclusion, all these various programs that have been started over the last few years under Biden, hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions, being spent on this, thousands of government workers, federal, state, and local level. There's not much that Trump can do about the state and local workers, but certainly the federal ones. They're supposed to have their offices cleaned out by 5 o'clock today. Doors locked, and then I guess they'll be put on administrative leave and maybe fired after that. But look, we still have the U.S. Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. Every state and city in this country has at least one or more civil rights divisions, equal employment opportunity divisions and departments and agencies. I mean, the whole civil rights anti-discrimination infrastructure remains. So if somebody is a cop or a teacher or a firefighter or whatever and feels, gee, I didn't get that promotion or that raise or whatever it is because I'm black or Hispanic or female or a lot of places, gay or whatever it might be, you have a right to go in and say, look, my boss doesn't like black people. My boss hates Hispanics. My boss can't stand women, whatever it is. And, I want my job back. I want my back pay. I want my raise. Whatever it might be, all that stuff still sits there. What's going to go away, thankfully, is the whole DEI critical race theory obsessiveness, where you spend every waking moment focused on what happened in 1619 and we're descended from slaves and every white person is an oppressor and every black person is a victim. And if you're black, you're never going to make it. If you're white, you're never going to be anything other than a raving bigot, et cetera, et cetera. And this horrible infrastructure that's been designed to pit Americans against each other, make us hate each other, make us hate the country in which we all live, in which we share. And I'm very happy to see that go away. And if people are, in fact, victims of discrimination. They still have all of that civil rights infrastructure on which they can rely that's been there since 1964 in the Civil Rights Act that Dr. King and so many other civil rights activists were able to get signed into law by Lyndon Baines Johnson.
I appreciate that so much because those rights of people to not be discriminated against still exist. But what we've seen from the left through their creation of the diversity, equity, and inclusion measures that were put into all of these different institutions, it prioritized it in a way that in the end was discriminatory in and of itself. And it's interesting to me that you're saying that in the absence of DEI, we can still prioritize making sure that nobody is left out because of their race or creed or sexual preference or whatever it might be, that those elements still exist without DEI. And it makes me wonder if the left ever really actually cared about diversity or if it was always a marketing strategy for politics.
I think it, much more than just, I wish it were just a marketing strategy for politics. I think that DEI, critical race theory, all these things go well beyond that. Those are essentially machines of cultural Marxism designed to demolish America, designed to make us fight with each other, hate the country, and bring the whole thing down. It comes out of the Frankfurt School, which essentially were Marxists in Germany about 100 years ago who were mystified as to why the workers did not rise and seize the instruments of production from the bourgeoisie. And they figured that maybe poor people really don't want to get rich, and the class struggle didn't work. So let's have them struggle over race, gender, struggle over sexuality, etc. And that's why you see, thankfully, disappearing in the rearview mirror, but very much alive and well when Joe Biden was president. Very happy to put that in the past tense. And every time you turn on the TV, it's some program in which we're sicking black people against white people against black people, assuming that they're supposed to be in this kind of a celebrity death match, if you will. Everything's about gender, everything's about sexuality, and we just tear the country in half over all these different things, or tear us into pieces over all these different things. And that goes well beyond either let's make sure that no one is a victim of inappropriate discrimination, or, as you say, just a way of getting votes. I think it goes, it's much more nefarious than that, much more deeply ingrained or at least intended to split Americans apart in as many different ways as we can and keep us from moving forward together.
Well, let's transition this into a broader conversation about the Trump administration so far as a whole. I literally saw this on a Facebook post of a friend that I have who was not very happy about Donald Trump being sworn in. And a comment under there, didn't know who the person was, is, "I fear for all of my friends who are not straight white males." Does Donald Trump have anything in this administration that is going to benefit people who happen to not be straight white males?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Look, I think his entire agenda is designed to help the country as a whole, not just help straight white men. You know, I think having an economy that's growing, having employment opportunities that are rising, being energy independent, maintaining peace through strength, making it possible for Americans to travel the world without being blown up and American ships to go into the Red Sea without being shot at by Houthi rebels. I hope people, our friends in Israel, being able to go about their lives in peace, as well as Americans who visit there, and have the Ayatollahs in Iran fearing for their lives rather than figuring out how to build atomic weapons to kill us and our, our, kill Israel and Jews and Americans and our allies around the world. You know, you don't have to be straight or white or Christian or any of those, or male or any of those things, in order to benefit from all of those very positive policies. I think this is designed to help the entire country, not just people who happen to be men who are heterosexual and happen to believe in Jesus Christ. Mm.
Dori Murdoch speaking with us right now, nationally syndicated columnist, Fox News contributor. I don't know how close you know Donald Trump yourself in your relationship with people who are in your circles, but I do know that from where I sit, I observe Donald Trump including people of all different walks of life in actual effective positions that surround him in making the big decisions, to enacting the big decisions. Do you think that Donald Trump walks the walk when he's talking about merit, about hiring the people who are the best for the job, regardless of all of these, you know, demographical details?
Well, that's certainly true. I think he's looking for people and has hired and nominated people who are very energetic, believe in his agenda. The left likes to say, oh, my God, they're loyalists. Well, gee, what a shock. He's not appointing Randy Weingarten, the head of the teachers union, to be the Secretary of Education. I mean, I guess maybe, you know, having someone who's actually loyal to the idea of school choice and having kids actually learn something.
And children
is going to run the Department of Education. God forbid we should have that. People actually believe in his agenda. And these people, many of them are very successful in business. Many of them are very successful broadcasters, as you've seen on Fox News. I think that a lot of my colleagues, many of whom I know very well, with whom I've been on the air, these are people who are going to be very well spoken and will do a great job of communicating the Trump agenda and the goals and accomplishments of these various agencies, whether it's the Pentagon or the State Department, where Tammy Bruce will be spokesman or what have you. And these people, I think, will do a great job and are qualified. And by the way, they're not all straight white males. There are quite a few. I can tell you that Scott Bessent, our new Secretary of the Treasury, happens to be a gay man with a husband and children. We've got Rick Grenell, who is the special envoy for, I think, for peace in general. He'll be working on various diplomatic measures. He happens to be a gay man. We have Pam Bondi, who's a woman, who's the incoming Attorney General. As I mentioned, the Secretary of Education, she's a woman. The White House Chief of Staff, Susie Wiles, is a woman. So there, a lot of these people I'm mentioning happen to be not male and straight, not straight. And mm-hmm. I know we have some Hispanics. Marco Rubio is the Secretary of State. He's not white. He's Hispanic. So I see a lot of non-straight, non-white, non-males in positions of great authority. And Trump has put tremendous responsibility on their shoulders, expects much of them. And I think they're going to deliver for the American people.
Dori, you know, I'm thinking back to this time period, maybe the last 75 days of the results of the 2020 election, when Joe Biden was in transition and they were announcing cabinet picks and nominees and all that. And the number one thing that they would lead with when they were talking about a particular nomination was the historic measure by which this nomination was taking place. And it was always some sort of demographical, like, this is the first gay person, this is the first transgender person, so on and so forth. It was the top thing that they listed as a qualification and point of note of the people they put into these positions. And it's striking to me, especially with the list that you just provided to us of the diversity that exists with the Trump nominations and appointments, that's never mentioned in the way the administration, the Trump campaign administration, puts out these people. They don't highlight this stuff. And then you've got people who are ignorant to the fact that actually there are a lot of non-straight white men who are participating in this. Do you think the Trump administration should highlight more the diversity that they have in some of these positions?
I don't think that's necessary. I mean, this sort of thing eventually gets out. Frankly, I've been struck at how little has been made of the fact that our, I assume incoming, if he's confirmed and likely will be, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is not only a gay man, but a married gay man with a husband, both of whom are raising children. You'd think either the left would say, gee, okay, well, we kind of like that, or people on the maybe more social conservatives might, or religious conservatives might have some concern. It's been a non-issue. It's not come up at all, left, middle, or right, which I think is rather remarkable and probably even a good thing. So not only is Trump not, you know, waving the pom-poms about this sort of thing, but, you know, I see very, very few people on the left, middle, or right making much noise about it at all. And that's sort of the way it should be. You know, are you talented? Can you do the job? Are you bringing some actual skills to the office? And will you perform well for the American people, American taxpayers? And, you know, what your racial background is, or, you know, what you do you know, behind closed doors with the lights off, doesn't seem to be much of interest to anybody. And boy, what a relief that is to compare to what we have under Biden, which is, you know, the first thing you mention about somebody is, you know, what the person's color is, or, you know, what the person's sexuality is.
Yeah, I think it speaks very highly to President Trump's conviction of merit, of hiring on merit. And it's nice to know that the Secretary of Treasury, I believe, is who you were saying, that he is in that position because he's the right man for the job and not anything else. And then those details are important to him in his life. But to the American people in the position of that nomination, he's qualified. And that's all that really matters.
That is correct. And boy, what a contrast to a guy like Pete Buttigieg, who the recently departed Secretary of Transportation, who was bandied about as always the first gay secretary, cabinet secretary, when in fact Rick Grenell was the acting director of National Director of Intelligence, which in fact made him the first gay secretary ever. But anyway, that was the big thing about Pete Buttigieg, and he's got a husband, and they spent some time. I think he spent, what, 3 or 4 months of paternity leave with Chase and his husband with the adopted kid or kids, whatever it was, while we had this tremendous disaster with the delivery chain. I'm slipping on the phrase now, the chain of delivery, whatever that's called. Mm. Supply chain is what I meant. Mm-hmm. Supply chain imploding during COVID. And at one point, we had something like 100 or 105 freighters off the coast of Long Beach, California, waiting to come in and unload their cargo. And as a consequence, we had many products that were not on store shelves for weeks and months, while the incompetent Pete Buttigieg, who knew nothing whatsoever about transportation and was spending all of his time taking care of his, you know, husband and new adopted baby, or babies, maybe that too, I can't remember, rather than doing his job and helping us get products from Long Beach and San Pedro across the country onto store shelves from coast to coast. But hey, he was the first gay guy in that job, so yay, I guess that makes it all okay. Yeah. And that's sort of the approach of the left, including Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who are now thankfully former president and former vice president.
Droy, it's a pleasure to have you. It was great to have this conversation. Our first conversation back in the Trump presidency. I'm looking forward to all the ones that come after this one.
And how comforting this has been and will be. I look forward to more.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you, Droy. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Annie. Be well. Bye-bye.
Nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor, our friend, Droy Murdoch. You can check that if you didn't hear the whole conversation on our podcast, anniefryshow.com/podcast, or my high recommendation of downloading the Audacy app, AUDACY. When you download it, you can stream 97.1 anywhere you go. You can Bluetooth it into your car or your speakers in your house and get crystal clear connection there if you ever have trouble with our signal. You can go to the Audacy app and take us with you anywhere you go. And while you're in the Audacy app, find the Annie Fry Show and you'll get your podcast there as well. All right, let's get Ryan back in studio here when we come back. Fine. We'll talk about the bishop, the lady bishop, the broad, as Ryan. That's not really fair. It's kind of fair.
He definitely said it.
He said broadly. I think we know what he meant. He can clarify when he comes back. Did you hear what she had to say to President Trump at the, it was a prayer service. I guess we heard what her prayer was in her verbal admonishment of Donald Trump at the prayer ceremony there. Let's discuss when we come back.
Don't ask my opinion, don't ask me to lie.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show. This is the Annie Fry Show.
I'm only human after all.